Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes, indeed. What? It is 7 o'clock now, which means Shock Therapy Live, my favorite hour of the week. Seriously. In studio with me right now, my boy Schneeberger.
What's up, Schneeberger? How are you doing, Steve-O? Chilling, man. How are you doing?
Also known as Greg. You are a pastor. I'm doing well, by the way.
All right, good.
I'm so stoked to see you.
You look well, brother.
Thank you. Yeah, man. It's good to see you here this evening. You are filling in for my dear friend Nate Heitzig.
May he rest in peace. Just kidding. Nate is alive and well.
Yeah, he I'm gonna switch this over. Bam. Sorry. Is it too quiet for you now?
No, that's nice. Now we went from like Rascal Flats front row to living room.
There you go. It is Shock Therapy Live. If you're just joining us and you've never heard Shock Therapy Live before, it is our one-hour call-in show based upon your phone calls, your emails, your Facebook questions. And so you can get them in right now, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or studio@MyStaticRadio.com if you're dealing with something in your life. As the intro said, this is not systematic theology. We're not talking about predestination tonight. We're not talking about a plethora of other things. End times, not so much. However, if you are dealing with an addiction to something, if you have a question about something you read, if you would just flat out are questioning anything, the point of the show is to give a biblical worldview. We don't want any Christianese. What does the Bible say? And so you get to be my pastor.
All right.
You are the guy. Good. Now, for those listening who are like, Greg Schneeberger, I have no idea who this guy is. You're a pastor.
Yes,
right down the street, actually.
Minister to youth, families, and I also work with young adults, the young adult ministry at Desert Springs Church.
What?
Yeah, it's a full plate, but it's good.
Yeah, man.
It gives you kind of a wide swath of demographics, everything from mid-high to 37 years old and still considering myself a young adult.
I'm close to that age. Can I still consider myself a young adult?
Absolutely.
At heart or something?
Yes.
Actually, you know what? The older I get, the more I realize I love getting older. The wisdom, the gray hair, I love it.
Yeah, man.
Heck with that, dude. I like getting older.
Heck yeah.
I'm not even going to pretend like I'm in my 30s. Yeah, what? What now?
I just turned 30.
Oh, dude.
There you go.
How did it feel turning
30
years old?
That's why when I got here, I was like, can I have a Diet Coke now? Is that okay? Aspartame? Can I get a little side of that on my tofurkey burger?
Yes.
You know.
It's the way you got to roll.
I got to represent for my wife. She's trying to keep me alive for at least another 10 years by feeding me healthy food.
See, I don't even mess around. I don't exercise. I don't do anything like that because I know that I probably am not going to be able to handle the loss of my wife. So I really want to go first.
Yeah.
So I don't even attempt to stay healthy.
Yes, good logic.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
That way, I mean, they already say that the ladies are going to live longer than the males anyway. So it's like, you know what, honey, I'm sorry. You deal with the loss of me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to have to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, my wife, I mean, I don't want to throw you under the same bus that I'm under right now, Steve-O. But my wife is a strong woman of the will, and I tend to be more of like the extroverted spaz type. And
So
there's no doubt she will be living and prospering much longer than I will be.
This is true. Oh, man. If you're just joining us, it's Shock Therapy Live in studio, my very good friend, Greg Schneeberger.
Thank you, sir.
It's so funny because I was just, you know, my sister. And you've been, how long have you known my sister?
Oh, man.
Years.
Many, many moons back to like Hoffmantown mid-90s.
Wow.
Dated myself.
Way back.
The milk is bad.
She dropped her kiddos off tonight to go to Rascal Flats. What? Yeah. I'm sorry.
My name.
Barrel. So if you have a question, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, or you can email us. We got some questions tonight already, man. And I'm like,
all right, let's
are
do this.
You ready?
No.
Are you ready
yes.
to dig in? thought I'd give you a couple minutes to, you know, let's joke, let's be funny. Yeah. Bam! Catholicism. What's that about? No, not really, but it's kind of. We got a question here.
Let's see. Who's this one from? Thank you.
This is the email. I usually keep it.
Do we read these?
Absolutely. We got an email. It says, my boyfriend is Catholic, and sometimes when he's angry, he makes derogatory comments about my born-again beliefs. He said, I've left my faith, the church, meaning the Catholic Church. He, of course, thinks his is the only way. I won't agree with him, but pray and trust. I won't argue with him, but pray and trust the Lord. Do you think I'm unequally yoked? He claims to love the Lord Jesus, but he seems to be in bondage of traditions of men instead of fully trusting his salvation in the cross. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live, Greg.
Wow, yeah, this is...
I mean, Catholicism this is, now, go.
This is a great question.
It's a fantastic
especially
question.
Especially in Nuevo Mexico.
Right.
Where the green chili is a-roasting and the church bells are a-ringing.
That's right.
So, man, wow.
First question really is, do you think she is do you think I am unequally yoked? How would you answer that?
Wow, yeah, good question. I guess here's what I would say. If... even claiming to love the Lord Jesus, he is not trusting his salvation to the cross of Christ, then there's probably not something totally right there. This is hard because the question that this begs is this question, and this is a question that Catholics and Protestants are uncomfortable with, which is, are we brothers?
Right.
Is this an in-house dispute?
Right.
Or is this an outhouse dispute, as they would say?
Right.
I tend to think that these sort of questions are in-house, meaning that there are boundaries, I guess, of orthodoxy. Maybe, for example, we could take the Apostles' Creed that Protestants and Catholics can hold in common. Of course, the difficulty comes along the lines of interpretation. And I would say for this young lady, let me maybe make it a little bit more specific to dating relationship situation. One of the issues that you're going to run into is that this young man is called to lead you.
Right.
He's not going to do it perfectly. He's not Jesus. Jesus leads you both, but he is called to be in submission to Christ. And you are called, to the degree that it is healthy, if this is a dating relationship, to be in submission to, or at least watching out for, looking at his leadership.
Right.
And, you know, without knowing a bunch of the details, I would say if this stuff is coming up now, you know, that's not that it's something that needs to be dealt with now. And if it's something that can't be dealt with, then, yeah, I would say that there's, you know, that there's probably a yoking there that's not equal. And I would want to caution. I mean, if a young lady came to me and said, hey, I'm dating this guy. You know, he's in the Roman church of the big C Catholic persuasion. He loves Jesus and we're seeking God together in the scriptures. And, you know, God is changing us both and reforming and conforming us both to the image of Christ and God's word. That would be encouraging. But to hear that at this stage there's derogatory comments being made. Now, that has nothing to do with Catholicism. That has to do with boyish immaturity.
Yeah, stupidity.
Which, being 30, I still struggle with.
Right.
So that I relate to. But, yeah, I would say if you and your boyfriend, even if it's awesome, even if he's a super nice guy, but if you guys don't have closed-handed issues in common, and I don't know, issues in the closed hand might be, you know, things like what you said here, you know, that you would trust the cross.
Lord.
Yeah, trusting the cross for your salvation. Now, again, I would say that, you know, an educated Roman Catholic obviously would say that, of course, they trust in Jesus. But, you know, then you have to kind of go into what that means and seek counsel from people who know you guys and love you guys. And let me just make this comment to anyone who's listening who's in a relationship. Do not be in a relationship that's outside of community.
Right.
Be in a relationship in community, especially in the community of a local church. And so I know this sounds a little cheesy because you're like, yeah, I asked you and this is, you know, you're answering my call on the show. But I would also encourage this young lady to seek counsel from the people that God has specifically placed over her to shepherd her in her community, the local church, and her father, if he's a Christian. And listen to their counsel as hard as it is. The problem is it gets emo and worked up and you're stoked and he's cute and he's like, he almost looks like Justin Bieber. And, you know, he's so nice and blah, 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 blah. And you don't realize that if this stuff doesn't get dealt with, it's a train wreck in a couple years down the road.
I got to say, big ups for emailing in this question at this time and not like, hey, we've been married 3 years and my husband is Catholic. I love that as a boyfriend, you are already seeking godly wisdom and counsel on this situation, because that's it, man. It's like, as you said, in-house, there are many Catholics we know who love Jesus Christ, who will be in heaven, just as there are many Baptists, Lutherans, whatevers. But there are also many Baptists, Lutherans, who will not enter the kingdom of heaven because they are clinging to that tradition of men. They do not have a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, man.
Yeah.
Dude.
There you go.
Yeah. And unequally yoked, no missionary dating.
Yeah, no missionary dating.
Because you know where that leads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It always leads to the one attempting to be the missionary being converted.
Yeah, exactly. So don't ever go there. But anyways, thank you for your
good question.
Email. And you can get your questions in facebook.com/mystaticradio. I got a few emails from last week that we hadn't had a chance to answer yet. And one of them says, we're not married, me and my boyfriend. We have a son. Have we sinned greatly in God's eyes, and how do I make it right? So the first question is, her and her boyfriend have a kiddo. Have they sinned greatly in God's eyes? How do they make it right?
That's a great question. And I'm so glad that in that question are two things. One, what does God think about this? Because whenever we come to a question like this, there's so much, I guess, rhetoric on both sides. People can feel very unloved and very uncared for. And so that's the question, is what does God think about this? And the follow-up was wonderful. You know, how do we make this right? That's really a demonstration of this young lady's heart in this. So I guess here's what I would say. God is displeased with our sin.
Yeah.
And sometimes that sin expresses itself in sexual immorality. And, you know, sexual sin can often, even by the incredible grace of God, lead to the blessing of children. And my encouragement to this young lady would be, to call out to God, ask for forgiveness, believe. See, that's the thing. We say ask for forgiveness and then we stop there, and then Satan rolls up and there's guilty words whispered in your ear. And you're like, what happened? I was supposed to feel forgiven. It's not so much about how you feel. You must know that you are forgiven, because you're standing before God, if you're in Christ, is forgiven on your worst day, on your best day. That's what's so scandalous about the gospel.
Yeah.
And so, you know, confess your sins to God, repent, turn from your sin. And I think, you know, in your situation, unfortunately, I don't know a lot of details here.
It's like one-liner.
Yeah, that's kind of what makes this a little bit hard. But in general, find a great local church where the forgiveness and ministry of Jesus through the gifts of God's grace in church, his word, his people, his sacraments can be given to you freely. And your boyfriend, get married. If that is something you and your boyfriend desire, and I hope it is with a son, get married as soon as you can. Get some great biblical counseling. Have, some older men and women who love Jesus, who aren't perfect. I know it's hard, right? Because a lot of times you go to church, we were just talking about this, and people look like they've got all their crap together, and they don't.
Right.
It is.
Right.
Oh, man, I think it's great that a church is a place of reverence and collared shirts and an occasional pair of pleated khakis. I don't want to deprecate the Sunday best or put that down at all. I think that's a good thing.
I'm like, dude, I wore this to church. I'm wearing a Captain America t-shirt because it's 9/11.
Sweet,
come on.
Yeah.
9/11 Captain America.
Represent, dude.
That's how I roll.
That's how you do.
Yeah, how I do.
I just went out and got an American flag tattooed on me, but whatever. I'm not trying to compare our devotion here, Steve-O. But yeah, I mean, for this young lady, I would just say, man, if God has blessed you with a son, then by his grace and in the strength of his forgiveness, the scandal of his forgiveness. I mean, you have to drink deeply of your own sin and let the law do its work, which it crushes us.
Right.
Because, I mean, in one sense, I want to say to this young lady, you have sinned. Yeah, that is serious. Yeah,
yeah,
God is pissed. And guess what? He hung Jesus Christ naked on a cross, bloody and beaten to death for sins just like this one, because he is that big and that good and that merciful. And so now any changes that you need to make, and maybe that means, man, we all right, you know, we're sleeping together, and by the grace of God, until we're married, you know, we're going to seek to have a relationship that's pure and honors God. Is that hard? Yeah. Is that weird? Yeah. Will the world think it's crazy? Yeah, they will. And that's awesome.
Right.
You know, they'll see you like burning up a storm and wonder exactly where the flame is coming from.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I would encourage this young lady that where Satan wants to condemn you and destroy you under the weight of sin, God wants to allow you to see that sin and then lift you up and heal you and show you mercy because of Jesus. And out of that place, healing and change can come. Change toward marriage, toward being better parents, toward, you know, all the things that God says. Not only honor him, because you can be saved with faith as small as a mustard seed,
right. But
bring you joy. And that's what I'd want to say to this young lady too, is God wants you to have life and life to the full.
There you go. All right. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to get a question in. You can also give us a call, 505-338-3700. The phone lines are open, or you can email us. It's studio@MyStaticRadio.com. And, yeah, welcome to Shock Therapy Live if you're just joining us. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me, Greg Schneeberger, youth pastor extraordinaire. What is your title? Like, what do I even...
That's good. I'm actually not a pastor.
You're like a...
I'm a minister.
You're a minister.
Which, it's not systematic theology, so for the sake of this time, let's just say minister to youth and young adults.
There you go. All right. Down at Desert Springs, and yeah, and you're hanging out with me tonight. I like this. This is cool.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Not that I don't love Nate. I see Nate every week, but yeah. I got a different friend in studio tonight. So we're taking your calls, 505-338-3700. Or as I said, you can also email us at studio@mystaticradio.com. Now, we got another question anonymously on our email.
Sweet.
It says, the Bible commands us to honor our parents, and clearly there's no time limit on this command. As adult children, some of us can have intrusive, disrespectful, cruel, manipulative, controlling, abusive parents. So how do we honor them without allowing them to destroy us? They go on to say, I've always been told that Ephesians 6:4, where it exhorts parents not to provoke their children to wrath, refers to young children, but I'm beginning to believe it means adult ones. What say you?
Man.
Yeah.
Was that one anonymous?
That was, well,
I know we can't say, but can I see who sent it?
Yeah. I just, right there.
All right, I'm just wondering if that's one of my peeps.
Oh,
because
okay.
That sounds like a question that, that someone I know would send. Wow, that's...
So how do we honor our parents as adults who can be intrusive, disrespectful, cruel, manipulative, controlling, or abusive? How do we honor them without allowing them to destroy us?
Well, the first thing I would say to this person is a great question. The second thing is, when you, friend, are intrusive, disrespectful, cruel, manipulative, controlling, and abusive, and expect God to honor you, remember, it's only by the blood of Christ. It's only by the gospel. It's only by the good news where God's righteousness is revealed. Romans 1:16-17, the gospel is the power of salvation for all who believe. And what that means is that God can save sinners and still be just because Christ has died on our behalf. Now, you think that I may be avoiding the question or giving like a cheesy pastorism, like, let me tell you about the gospel before we get in.
Right, right.
I need to quote a verse
here. All right, Franklin. Franklin Graham in the house.
No, but seriously though, it really is gospel from Alpha to Omega. And so I would say this. First of all, my parents are amazing. And so
right.
I don't exactly relate to parents that would treat a child in that way. But I think that the email writer is right on when they say that this command is not couched in a specific time frame. Now, there is a temporal or a time-oriented aspect to it. Of course, the oversight of a parent has more to do with their young children than it does when children grow up. At the same time, since I work with youth, I'm constantly telling kids to remember that turning 18 doesn't mean you're somehow like,
right.
Well, I can just get over it.
Magical and don't
right?
have to
oh,
listen to your parents anymore.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm 18, so now I can just do whatever I want. No, in fact, we are called to honor our father and mother, and that means honoring the elderly folks in our lives, like our grandparents, great-grandparents. Really, if you look at the Ten Commandments, it's beautiful. I could recommend a few books here, but we think of the Ten Commandments as being super boring, but they're not. They each have a negative and a positive aspect. So the, honor your father and mother, this fifth commandment, you know, the negative aspect of that, of course, is actually alluded to in the verse, is, you know, that it will go well with you, meaning if you don't do this, it will not go well with you. The positive aspect here is, you know, that this is kind of an outline for how society is supposed to operate. God has given general rules for the benefit and the blessing and the joy and the furtherance of society, and part of that means young people respecting older people. Now, when older people are not worthy of your respect, I'd say that this is a fine line, and I would encourage this person to search the scriptures, to pray, without knowing, you know, the nature of conflicts here. Is this verbal? Right. If a parent, let's say this person is 25 or 30 years old, let's say they're financially independent, they're married, they have their own kid. All right, that's a little bit different than, hey, I'm 19,
right,
and I, you know, I still get a bottle warmed up for me every morning, and, you know, I go to university near mom, and I'm awesome, but I'm so independent now. No. But if they're an adult with adult responsibilities in the society, then I'd say, you know, yeah, you do have to be careful to guard your own heart and guard your family against abusive situations. But, I can say I've seen, for example, my father-in-law is an incredible example of this in my own life, because there's been family issues, and as his parents have gotten older, and they're doing great, but you know, I don't know, every now and again something will be said that's a little bit off the wall by his dad, kind of like an old school old
right,
guy
right.
thing that wouldn't exactly be PC or appropriate in our own day and age. And you know, of course you're like, man, old people, they don't even know about the interwebs. Like, they don't know about Bookface. You know, they don't know about any of this stuff. And our tendency as youth is to be extremely arrogant. And so I would say that there's at least a foundational command and imperative to honor father and mother. But when they are not worthy of honor, I think that's when we need to get prayerful and creative about how to possibly approach them in love. Paul says, writing to Timothy, man, if you need to rebuke an older man, okay, but do it as a son.
Right.
You know, come to him as a young man, humbly and with respect. At the same time, you know, based on what the reader is saying there, if the parent is really being
abusive,
then
right,
then obviously there's some reasons to put some guards up there and some distance there. And if maybe the parent, you know, we've seen this before where a parent will kind of try to control, you know, behaviors and
right,
and try to, you know, manipulate, like they said, and that's not healthy. So again, my encouragement would be, you know, have a community around you. Do we know if it was a young guy or a young girl?
I don't know. I already flipped over to Facebook.
Hang on. Well, either way, you know, young guy, young girl, have you know, have some godly older men and some godly older women. Lord knows in your church there are a few who have struggled with how to love their parents well.
Right.
You know, who can provide some kind of Holy Spirit biblical guidance on that, because it is hard.
Yeah.
You know, and without knowing specifics, it's hard to give specifics, but the general principle is you need to fight in the gospel with gospel grace, because when you were a sinner, you know, God loved you while you were yet a sinner. He didn't clean you up and make you porcelain and shine you up and then go, oh, now you're lovely.
Right.
He set his love upon you when you sucked.
Yep.
And so if someone in your life, even a close relationship, even a relationship of expectation where you think, well, it's my parent, they should be awesome.
Right.
And that's sucking. Then we need to do the gospel work, because that's what Christ has done for us, to set our love on the unlovely.
Yeah, man. There you go. All right. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio if you'd like to get a question in for Shock Therapy Live. We got to take a quick break, but we'll come back with more of your thoughts. 505-338-3700 or, of course, yeah, like I said, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio.
Shock Therapy Live. Maybe this time the treatment will take. Follow tonight's topic at Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or at 505-338-3700. If you think you can handle the spewing of hard truth, time to treat more of your disorders with Steve-O and Nate. This is Shock Therapy Live.
Yep. Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to it, my friends. Speaking of friends, sitting next to me in the chair, Minister. Greg Schneeberger.
That's right.
From Desert Springs Church. Is it Desert Springs Church or just Desert Springs?
DesertSpringsChurch.org.
There it is. Go ahead,
just
man.
Kidding.
DesertSpringsChurch.org.
Yes, sir.
So we are hanging out tonight and taking your questions, 505-338-3700 or 505-338-3701. You can also Facebook us, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, or get your email on at studio@mystaticradio.com. If you have never heard of Shock Therapy Live. It's our one-hour call-in show every Sunday night with myself and apparently whatever pastor is available, because Nate, this is twice he's crapped out on me. So, dude, I'm glad you're here, man. It's cool to be hanging out.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here as well, man.
All right. So if you'd like to get your question in, 505-338-3700 or facebook.com/mysteticradio. Now, we got an email question. Do you want to read it? You're
yes,
over in that
I
chair,
do.
And it's like right in front of the email.
There we go. Nope, that's a lie.
Second
that's
tab.
A lie from the
second
pit.
Tab.
Here we go. This question from Anonymous.
All right.
I know a lot of Christians that go to churches that are blatantly teaching false doctrines. Pastors saying things like, quote, if you don't go to church, you are not saved, and claiming to be a prophet of God. This from a female pastor. And all manner of unbiblical teachings. This doesn't seem to be enough to cause them, the folks going to these churches, to find another church. Can you please give scripture to support and prompt leaving a place that teaches false doctrine mixed with truth? I'll go ahead and give this one to Steve-O.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? If you're at a church where you know that there's false doctrine being spoken, do you really? I mean, I hate to say it as bluntly as this. Like, do you really need to, like, until I get a word from the book of Joshua, I'm not moving. I'm staying in this heretical church. It's
yeah.
like, no, dude, get out. There yeah. you go. Or you could have the biblical answer. What's your...
Well, first of all, this is a great question.
Absolutely.
And I would encourage you with these friends in these churches to really just, you know, approach them with grace and humility and love and boldness, to be wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove. And it's hard when you care about folks and you love folks and you believe they're in places that are teaching false doctrine. Now, let me say something about if you don't go to church, you're not saved. I'd like to take that one first.
Yeah, dude. Feel free. Talk as long as you want on that one.
Talk as long as I want.
Yeah.
All right. I guess Nate's not here, so when the Nate's away, the cats will play.
Yeah.
Or wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
Well, I'm the host. Come on.
All right.
It's kind of like our show. I'm still.
All right.
Robin's still here, man.
Yeah.
He's Batman.
Yeah.
I guess.
We've got Derek, but we don't have Hansel. Unfortunately. Tell me I'm wrong, dude. That guy looks like Hansel from Zoolander.
That
is
hilarious.
Amazing.
Except I can't pull off the Zoolander. I can't do it. That's hilarious that he's Hansel.
He really is.
Or John Foreman or Switchfoot. Either way.
Oh, yes. So, yeah. Wow. Switchfoot. Yeah. They're coming, right?
Yeah. October 20th. Details, mysteticradio.com.
There you go. No details to be found at desertspringschurch.org.
So there
That's
it is.
Funny. All right. So if you don't go to church, you are not saved. First of all,
this is what they say.
Yes. No pastor can make a universal declaration of salvation upon people in this way, because no pastor knows everyone's heart. And so no pastor with their limited knowledge can know if everyone is saved or not, who is or is not going to a church. In fact, I think we would agree that there's a lot of folks in our own churches, unfortunately, who may not be believers, but yeah. we're really glad they're here to hear the gospel and hope that the Lord Jesus will change their hearts. Now, I want to say this too, though. I do want to say this.
Say it.
Because, brother.
It's called Shock Therapy Live.
Shock it up. Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe this is the benefit and the blessing, or the last time ever, of having a guest pastor. And from now on, yes. Man, church is so important.
Absolutely.
God saves because of Jesus Christ, but the church is the bride of Christ. And so I just don't see how someone could say, I love Jesus, but I hate his bride.
Right.
You know, is church messy? Of course it is, because you go there,
right.
whoever you are.
Right.
You know, is church full of hypocrites? Yeah, because
you go.
That's where you go. Exactly. Church isn't a perfect place, but by God's mercy, he gives gifts to the church in the form of preaching and the Lord's Supper and baptism and so many other gifts by which he is sanctifying his bride. He's washing her with the water of the word. He's making her pure and spotless for a day when he will finally consummate what has been promised to her in this time of engagement. And so I would say, in a sense, in a limited sense, and I don't think that's what this pastor was meaning, but in a limited sense, understood in submission to the gospel of Christ, that I don't see how someone could say, yeah, I'm saved, but I don't need to go to church.
Right.
So I think if you are saved, you will go to church. It's sort of like folks who say, you know, we're saved by grace alone. But the faith that saves is never alone.
Right.
And it's interesting because we're American, okay? So we love to consume.
Right.
People
right.
change churches like changing the channel.
Yeah.
We're extremely individualistic, which means it's all about me and how I feel.
Right.
You know, and I've heard pastors say this before. I really agree with this, that whatever preference issue caused you to leave the church you just left is the same one that's going to cause you to leave this one.
Right.
And we're very preference driven, very pragmatic. You know, we do it because it works.
Right.
Well, does the Bible say we should do it? Well, but it works, you know, and because of those very acceptable middle class American idols. We need to be very careful about separating the individual life of a believer from the corporate life at the church. It'd be like trying to separate one of the persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, or the Spirit, from the unifying essence of the Godhead. You can't do it.
Right.
You know, well, is Jesus a person? Yeah, he's a person, but he's also fully God.
Right.
And in the same way, or at least by analogy, we as individuals are called to be a part of one corporate unity, which is the church. Now, as far as someone claiming to be a prophet, and female pastorship, again, these are both, I want to say they're difficult issues.
Let me just say at the very end, there's like a disclaimer that the opinions and views and blah, 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 blah. So you're good. You can say whatever you want.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, no, that's good. I just, yeah, I mean, my take on spiritual gifts is that prophecy in the sense of new revelation has completely ceased. So anyone saying that they have a new word from God, even if they were to add to that, you know, test the spirits, would be something I disagree with. Now, if someone says, you know, I feel this impression from the Lord, let me test it in submission to my pastors and elders. Let me test it into submission to God's word. And let's see if this is the Lord speaking to me through his spirit who is alive and well and indwells us. That's a different matter.
Right.
But I think what this person is talking about is someone who stands up and says, I am a prophet, thus saith the Lord. You know, maybe not in those words, but I'm the pastor. I have authority. This is what God is doing.
Right.
And, you know, I guess I would encourage this person, you know, how do you support and prompt a person to leave a place like this? Well, you have to drive them back to the word of God because,
right.
Well, first of all, God can save people who misinterprets his word because everybody who's ever been saved has misinterpreted
at one point, absolutely.
Something.
Yeah.
But man, when it comes to issues like this, I would just say we have to go to God's word and we have to see what it says. And you know, it may not be that these churches are necessarily heretical on every issue, but a bigger question would be are they healthy?
Right.
Is it a healthy place to grow that most fully represents the new creation, the overturning of the curse that the gospel does in justifying us and also bringing us together as a justified people to sort of transform the culture around us.
Right.
And I'm just not sure if, you know, someone getting up to, you know, give authoritative prophetic words is, you know, is a place where that's going to happen, you know, best.
Right.
So do you have anything to add to that one?
Well, no, I mean,
going
back to, you know, if you don't go to church, you're not saved. I think you could use that with anything. People like to put, as you said, us Americans, we like to put things in boxes. So it's A, B, and C. If you smoke, you're not saved. If you drink, you're not saved. If you don't go to church, you're not saved. And as you put it, you know, yeah, you can be, but why? Because you have to look at the heart. Because with Jesus Christ, the one thing is, it's like, if I know that something isn't cool with my God, if I am so overly in love, if I am completely, deeply, passionately in love with Jesus Christ, it's not a, you have to do these things. It's a, I want to do these things because I love my God.
Right.
And, man, fellowship is such an important aspect of that. As we're in fellowship right now, and now this isn't, you know, we didn't have a worship service before the show or anything like that. And I'm not saying that this necessarily is quote unquote church, but we gotta get away from the idea that, you know, the church is this place, this building. This, you have to be right here or right here. And I think what they're trying to say is, you know, I highly doubt the pastor was being funny and saying, you know, if you don't go to church, you're not saved. There are a lot of churches who believe that this is the church and you have to go to this one And if we're not in communion here, if you don't agree with this, 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 and this, it's like, okay, can we agree on the gospel of Jesus Christ first? And, man, there's a whole lot to that question that's, I want to like grab him and kind of shake him because it says, you know, doesn't seem to be enough to cause them to find another church. Well, why are they at church to begin with? If they see things that are quote unquote or not quote unquote, if they see things that are heretical, if they see things that don't line up, if there's a check in their spirit and they're going, man, that doesn't seem right. Hmm. Man, who are you listening to? What are you listening to? And what's your motivation for even being there? If not to grow.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a, would you like to give them a scripture to support and prompt them leaving their place that teaches false doctrine? I thought of Paul immediately, you know, speaking out against those who were teaching, you have to be circumcised. I gotta be circumcised. And it was like, you know what, for those agitators, I wish they'd just go the whole way and castrate themselves. You know, it's like, Paul was passionate about those who taught false doctrine.
Yeah.
Paul was very passionate. And it's easy to be ensnared by false doctrine because it so closely resembles the truth. And that's it. It's this one little twist, this one little... But if your spidey sense is going off because of those little, like, twists, those little, like, and you're not doing anything about it, you're in sin, man. Like, you are truly... Because you, if, as James put it, you know, if you know what to do, if you know the right to do and you choose not to do it, for you, that's sin. If you know that you shouldn't be in a place because there's some things that are just jacked up, or there's some stuff that is not biblically lining up, peace out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What say you? Is that...
No. I mean, I agree. And I thought about Paul as well, 1 Corinthians 5, where, you know, Paul instructs these folks in Corinth, you know, that if there are people claiming to be brothers in Christ, but they are in unrepentant sin,
right?
Not, oh, they screwed up one time, kick them out of the church, but they are unrepentantly sinning against God, then with these sorts of people, a person should not even eat.
Yeah.
And again, it's hard to know with the length of the question here exactly what is being said by this pastor, but, you know, I would say, if the pastor is saying you're not a Christian if you don't go to this church, then that's a good reason to leave.
Yeah.
If the pastor is claiming to be a prophet of God, and if they mean by prophet that they bring some sort of a special authoritative revelation from God mediated to them apart from the scriptures, that's a good reason to leave.
Yeah.
And with all due respect and knowing that it's not a very politically correct position, if the pastor happens to be female, not because women are less in any sense of the word, but because I believe that God teaches in the scriptures that the shepherds of the church are to be men.
Right.
Not that women can't serve in the church, not that women can't have incredibly developed and progressive roles in the ministry of Jesus's church, but I think that would be a reason to leave. And I'm not saying that any of these would necessarily be a reason to leave with bitterness and hate and wiping the dust off your feet. I think that's part of the problem too. I think one could leave boldly, but also leave in love.
Yeah.
You know, and leave without bitterness.
Right. There it is. All right. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. Hello, I'm your host, Steve-O. With me is my boy Greg Schneeberger, ministering dude down at Desert Springs. We got another Facebook question, comment, something. It says, I love my church. And we're talking about church. I love my church, but I don't feel very accepted in my youth group. Hey, here you go, youth pastor. Youth minister. I try so hard to fit in, but people can be so judging. I feel like God is pushing me on my heart to go back, but I don't want to be there if they don't want me. Thoughts? Let's pretend like this person just came to you as the youth pastor. Hey, youth pastor, check it out. I love going here, but the people in our youth group are jerks, and they're mean, and I don't ever want to go back here, but I feel like God wants me here, but I don't want to be there because all the people are mean. What would you say?
I'd say a few things, actually. And we are, by the way, just to check, this is supposed to stay anonymous, correct? It does, basically.
What?
So I shouldn't actually respond to
To this one?
Said individual using their...
Who, Beth?
Yes.
It's on Beth. Facebook.
Okay, yeah. Is this anonymous? Is Facebook anonymous?
Is this anonymous on Facebook?
Dang it, dude.
I love it, dude. I'm 30, man.
I'm like, wait a minute here.
She just gave her full name on Facebook. What do you mean anonymous?
Actually, I love this Facebook bit because then it, not that anonymous is wrong. We want you to call in or write in anonymously if that's the way you feel comfortable. But as Steve-O was saying earlier during one of the breaks, a show like this and static radio in general is exactly the sort of place where folks should be able to say, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm dealing with. The church sucks at this, man.
Right.
The church has failed at asking and dealing with the hard questions because we do one of two things. We either tell people to shut up or we give them the answer that is so dogmatic and so black and white and so uncompassionate that we're basically saying implicitly, shut up.
Yeah.
But a long way of saying shut up is here's the really black and white answer. So now you can shut up.
Yeah.
And the answers oftentimes are black and white. God's word is clear, but we can answer people with love and compassion. And I would say, Beth, in your case, that, you know, that's exactly what you're longing for. And, you know, because of Christ, what you should be receiving from your youth group. And if you're not, if your youth group is having problems, not that I could imagine such a thing, but if I could for a second imagine such a thing, I would encourage you to talk to some folks about this. First of all, talk to your youth minister. Tell them how you're feeling. And I would encourage you when you go to your youth minister to go, you know, with a humble heart, pray about it. Don't go with a spirit of accusation. Read a few of the Psalms before you go in. Ask God to prepare you. Ask God to show you your own sin, humble you, remind you that you have been loved and so that you can love others even when they are difficult to love, and speak with your youth minister. On top of that, I'd encourage you to talk to these folks if there's anyone in particular that you're being judged by. But if there isn't, if there's just a feeling of being judged,
right?
I would really exhort you, challenge you, charge you to try to fight through that, because I think a lot of times we can feel that way because of spiritual warfare, because the world and the flesh and the devil would make us feel worthless, would make us feel helpless, would make us feel judged. Other people may not actually be judging us, but we feel that way. Now, I don't want to minimize that, Beth, because that can be real. That can be extremely difficult. I mean, for anyone who's listening who knows what it's like to be in a room of 1,000 people and feel completely alone
and alienated and yeah.
I mean, that's real stuff. Or to go to church and know, man, if people knew, you know, what I've done, if they knew what I've been through, like, no one would talk to me. And there's such a temptation. And it's natural.
Right.
And I say that not because it's right, but because it's natural to want to put on a face. That's why the church has to be a body that is constituted by the supernatural word of God, empowered by the supernatural spirit of God. And so it becomes a supernatural community of love where we can do the unnatural thing of being super real and open, honest with each other.
And unshockable.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Exactly.
Be able to go with one another with any and everything and have this expectation of unshockability so that, I mean, there are going to be times where you're going to go, what?
Yeah.
But we gotta be unshockable in a sense that we understand that we are all fallen. We are all capable of very stupid things because we all do very stupid things. Anyway, sorry, I'm sidetracked.
No, you're right. I mean, it's out of that place of corporate brokenness that we can corporately, as a body, corporally, you know, as a body of Christ, repent together. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And I would say to Beth, you know, if you feel, as you put it, God pushing on your heart to go back. Go back. What does God want to teach you through this? Life isn't easy. The Christian life isn't easy. It's extremely hard. God hasn't given you faith to get around trials. He's given you faith in Him, not in people, not in yourself. All of which falls under the category of suck.
Right.
He's given you faith so that you can walk through those trials, not around them.
Yeah.
You know, so go and let yourself be humbled before God. Let your youth minister grow as he learns how to counsel you biblically. Let the people in the youth group grow as they learn how to love people better and not be perceived as judgmental. Let yourself grow in Christ as you're healed through this and come out on the other side so much stronger.
There it is. Dude, Beth, thank you so much for your Facebook comment. We're going to take a quick break. If you'd like to get a question in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also email us, studio@mystaticradio.com, or give us a call, 505-338-3700.
Shock Therapy Live,
A little heated by tonight's topic? Yes? Build a bridge and get over it. Or better yet, chime in now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. We find it best to get it off your chest. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back to Shock Therapy Live. It is the final segment, so if you'd like to get your question, your comment in, Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or give us a call, 505-338-3700. I'm your host, Steve-O. With me in studio, guest minister.
Dude.
Down at Desert Springs, Greg Schneeberger. What?
Sí, señor.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so let's get right to it, man. We got like 10 minutes left to show and a big question in front of us, so.
All right, I'm going to read this.
Okay.
This whole question.
That whole question.
This is good. I was invited to a church. Not going to say the name because I don't want to badmouth them. So,
good
first
for you.
Off, props for that. 3 years ago, attended the church for 2 years, and they became close to me like a family to me. I was dating a boy there, and the pastor and his wife somehow found out that me and the boy were sleeping together, having sex. God always brought the truth to light. They made me tell his parents face-to-face. He got to sit in the other room while I got bashed and told how horrible I was. I know we all fall short of God's glory, and I know how I messed up. And they were harsh and cruel about it. They eventually asked me to leave the church. I was hurt so bad I haven't been able to find a church home. Again, because I don't want to build a relationship with people in the church and them tear me down. I even reached out to them a year ago and was asked to leave. I text the pastor because my father had passed away and I was so scared and alone. His response, please do not contact us. I'm still confused about my dad's passing and I don't understand why. I don't know how to go about this because I would really love to go back to the church and have someone minister to me. Help me with my struggles and help me out when I have questions because right now I'm really lost. I have so many questions, but I'm so afraid to build a relationship with a pastor or his wife and them to be and that to be torn down again. I don't know where to go from here because I'm at a standstill. Sorry if this is confusing. If you need any more details, he, not sure, says email me back. Well,
all right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we go. You know, first of all, as we said, God does not wince at sin. And so I'm really, really glad that this, this person understands the reality of sin, that it is wicked, that it's an offense against God, offense against others. In the case of sexual sin, it's an offense against our own body.
Yeah.
But even as we were talking about, there is no sin that is too great that God cannot forgive, that God cannot heal. And as a wise man told me earlier, God is in the business of restoring, reconciling.
Yeah.
That means re-counseling. That means there's a council. Think of the Fellowship of the Ring.
Yes.
And then the council breaks up.
Because
oh, no.
Boromir split with the horn and
dude,
it was just gnarly.
The eyeball and then
yes,
there's a little,
bro.
That little frog dude. Whatever. I don't know. But God re-counsels us to himself in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, do I want people out there to be sleeping with their boyfriends? No, by God's mercy and grace, be in community, repent of your sin, have a relationship that is pure and honoring before God. If you get married, you'll be so thankful for that. And if you don't, you will be so thankful for that.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you fall into sin and if it is grievous and if there is brokenness and consequence that comes out of it, which it always does, know the story of the prodigal son. Read that. That's what I would say to this person before I even dig another step into logorrhea here.
Right.
Read the story of the prodigal son. Read about this person who went and blew all their daddy's money and their trust fund in Vegas. They moved out to the apartment and, you know, lived there. And for a while it was awesome and there's, you know, strippers and there was awesomeness, or they thought. And then all of a sudden they were like living on the street and living under Vegas in the tunnels selling trinkets on the strip.
Yeah.
All right. And as they made their way back to Albuquerque, the land of wealth and honey and harvest, you know, thinking the whole time, like, how do I go back to God? How do I go back to a relationship? That's kind of what this person is saying. You know, how do I go back to where God manifests himself, the church and relationships in the church and his word? I can guarantee this prodigal son is probably thinking up 25 stories of, what do I say? What do I do? because I'm going to see my father, and there's no way that he's going to let me actually come back. So I'll offer to be a slave, or offer to go, you know, I'll offer to go clean the pigsty or live in the barn or whatever. And before this person can even get the thought in their mind, they're being, you know, smothered by an old running dad who, you know, dads did not run and landowners did not run in that day and age. And not only hugged and kissed and welcomed back into his kingdom, as it were, but then clothed in the robe and given the ring, and the fattened calf is killed. And I would just tell this person, you know, the church is messy and it's horrible that this happened to you. I don't know all the details, and I've found in my life that with stories like this, there's always more to the story.
Right.
And maybe I would encourage this author with that as well. You know, maybe there's more to the story that even you don't know. It doesn't make anything that happened to you right, but I'm asking you, as God has given you grace, as God restores you in purity and in beauty, and there's nothing lacking in you because of Jesus, because in your place condemned he stood, so that now you stand before a righteous God, holy, pure, righteous. That's a scandal. It's ridiculous. It's offensive. Or as Paul says, it's stupid to the world. It's a, you know, to Greeks who demand reason, it's just ridiculous. To Jews who demand a sign, it's, you know, it's a stumbling block that God would send Messiah, who would be God, to die on a cross.
Right.
But if that is what's happened, and we believe it is, then I want this author of this email to know that there is hope, and to not walk away from God, and certainly not walk away from God's church, because in God's church, he wants to give you gifts of his people, his community, his presence, spiritual gifts as they're worked out in the church. And, you know, let me encourage you to possibly find another church. I would tell someone, you know, try to stick it out, work through your issues. But in this case, if what's being described here is accurate, and I believe that it probably is, then it might be okay to just say, all right, let's find another church.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear Nate talking on here, you hear me, other folks. Our churches aren't perfect. They have messiness too, but because of the gospel, hopefully we could be a place where someone who lost their father could come experience the love of the Father.
Right.
You know, and I would just say that if you've lost your father, and this pastor who is supposed to be a father to you rejects you, do not let the devil make you think that means that God the Father rejects you, because he doesn't. You have a Father in heaven who loves you, and it's crazy. He is in heaven. He is all powerful and all knowing, and, you know, over every molecule in the universe, as you said, he declares, you know, it is mine.
Yeah.
Christ is Lord. And yet this selfsame Lord is a sacrifice for your sin and a father to you. And so I would say, as hard as it is, as fearful as it is, as scary as it is, and it is, I want to honor those feelings. I mean, if this had happened to me, confusion, fear, but these things are not from God.
Right.
God has clearly told you that he loves you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't need to be afraid of any human being. You don't need to have any fear of man.
Right.
You don't need to be confused. God has made it clear, and you don't need to be afraid, because he's not a God of fear. He's a God of love and mercy. And the church is not always a perfect expression of that, but I think that you, you know, trust God and find a church that would be at least a better expression of it.
Absolutely. I immediately think of the scripture that tells us we are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And in that sound mind, do not allow yourself to be overcome by the grief of this horrible situation.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing these people to remove you from Christ, to remove you from that fellowship, as it were. And you are alienating yourself from fellowshipping. We talked a lot tonight, actually, about fellowship and being in fellowship and in the church and the importance of that. And you right now using this, I don't even want to say as an excuse, but I mean, bottom line is it's kind of an excuse, because this one person did this. That's like every other person who does not want to receive the gospel of Jesus because they were offended by another Christian, because some hypocritical Christian did something in their life. And now for the rest of their lives, they are absolutely turning their backs on Jesus Christ.
and it breaks my heart every time I hear that when somebody says, well, my father was a deacon and he used to beat me, or, and so I have no reason to ever want to be involved in Christianity because of a Christian, and it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, as you've put it this evening, I mean, he is the be all end all. That's it. And you're allowing these hurts to pull you out of that fellowship. And yeah. So you gotta find a place. You gotta run back. We got about a minute and a half. I see there, it looks like there's one more. Is that it? Yeah, Shock Therapy Live. You see the one up top? Well, yeah, I mean, we got 45 seconds at this point.
How do you deal with overwhelming spiritual warfare? Every time I turn to God, I always get thrown into the fire again. Depression, anxiety. There's a couple ways you deal with it. Of course, as an individual, getting into God's word. But again, let me emphasize being in community,
right,
and being on mission. It's counterintuitive, but you're like, wait, if I'm dealing with spiritual warfare, I can't be used by God. No, it's the exact opposite. You're in spiritual warfare precisely because he wants to use you. So right. Get in a community and then go on mission and let the spiritual war be on display, because Christ will win.
Yeah. Dude, wow, you answered that like way too quickly. Can you stretch it out for about 30 more seconds?
I just love to say, thanks for letting me be on the show, man.
And yeah, man.
It's a real blessing.
Yeah.
You
know, Minister Greg Schneeberger from Desert Springs Church, desertspringschurch.org.
Yeah,
let me
just say, if anyone wants to write me an email or has any questions, it's just greg@desertspringschurch.org.
There it is.
Our website has a lot of info, and man, we'd love to have some people come down who are hurting to experience the healing love of Jesus.
Heck yeah, man. There you go. Thank you for coming in. I just shook your hand,
Steve,
on the radio.
Web to web.
You will be in studio more. I can promise you that.
Thank you, brother.
I had an amazing time tonight. Thanks, everybody, for their emails, questions tonight, the Facebook questions.
Yep.
We are here every Sunday night, 7 p.m. In fact, if you missed a past episode, you can check it out, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you guys so much.
Greg, you're the man.
Steve-O.
I'll see you soon.
I aspire to your glory.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.